Okay, so tonight's two shailas are as follows. One is a very sad one, and the other one is just like a current events kind of one. So the sad one is as follows. I got a question from an emergency room doctor. So he deals with, you know, it's always unpredictable, and there are always exciting and terrible situations that come up. So he was in the emergency room, and a baby came in unresponsive. The baby was brought in not by the parents, but by a caretaker. The parents were at work, apparently, and the caretaker noticed that the baby didn't look well, and then the baby stopped breathing, and the caretaker, you know, brought the baby to the hospital. And by the time the baby came in, the baby was pretty much unresponsive, and they immediately started CPR. And after the normal amount of time that they would normally try for CPR, to perform CPR, where they normally would say, you know, would call it, and they would call time of death. What happened was they realized that the parents weren't there, and apparently the studies say that when parents, Rahman al-Islam, lose a child, one of the things that is helpful in terms of getting a sense of closure and quasi nechama is knowing that the doctors did everything they can, and actually seeing the doctors do everything that they can. So if the parents would show up after the baby is already declared dead and the doctors are no longer working on the baby, it would not be as good emotionally, it would be even more terrible emotionally for the parents than a situation where they at least see that they're working on the baby. So based on protocol, all the team of doctors said they heard the parents are 5 minutes out, so they kept on working on the baby for another 5 minutes. Parents came, they worked for another 5 minutes, so the parents could see them working on the baby, and then they called it. That's what happened. So the frum doctor said to me afterwards, "Am I allowed to be doing that? You know, there is a halacha that you're not allowed to touch a goses. So obviously, if you're trying to treat the person, so you're a doctor, you're trying to make the person better, you're trying to, so then you're allowed to touch a goses for a fua to make him better, but he's not a goses. But in this situation, he was clearly a goses. He was clearly going to die. And maybe it should be usher to touch him." Meaning, is the fact that the parents are going to have slightly more closure, is that enough? Is that enough of a reason to be allowed to continue the treatment? That is shaila number one, a little heavier than most of the shailas we normally have. But that's shaila number one. Shaila number two, much lighter shaila. There was a music video that came out a little while ago in honor of the organization called Bonei Olam. You know what I'm about to say? This must have been big hot where you work. Bonei Olam is an organization that helps to fund, if I'm not mistaken, helps to fund fertility treatments for couples that are having difficulty having children. And the music video was an original composition, I think, starring Baruch Levine and Benny Friedman, two of the big names in the music industry. And they sang a song from the perspective of a woman who is longing to be a mother. So as Benny Friedman and Baruch Levine are singing the words, "Will I ever be a mother?" I'm not going to sing it, but singing the words, "Will I ever be a mother?" You see pictures of men and boys, and no pictures of any actual women, because Bonei Olam is a Hasidic organization, and they would never show an image of a woman on a video. And although there is what appears to be a woman's hand with a ring on her finger, unless they got a man with very feminine looking hands to model, you know, lighting Shabbos candles or something like that, and there is a shot from the back of the head of what appears to be a woman, and another shot from the neck down of a woman holding a tehillim. So a woman is in the video, just never a woman's face is in the video, and I'm confident that these were actual women in the video and not just men dressed as women. First of all, it's obvious, and also the credits list two women as part of the cast at the end. So the two faceless women, unless Chaya and Sarah are boys' names, which I assume they're not. So the cast includes two women. So I got a voice note from another Jewish singer, not Benny Friedman nor Baruch Levine, another Jewish singer who told me that he has previously included women in his music videos, And he's gotten people get very upset about it and tell them that it's not right and it's pretzels, and you know the Bachram are watching these things and how can you include women in the videos. And he was on his family WhatsApp chat, and all the people in his family were saying, how could they not include women in a video about a woman who's trying to be a mother, who wants to be a mother, and they're singing from a woman's... How could they not include a woman in the video? So he wanted to know, like, what's the story? Are there any tshuvas out there about including women in, you know, the From magazines? Some of them do not include any pictures of women. The entire magazine, Kimat, is written by women, and certainly layout and all of that stuff is done by women, but they don't include any pictures of women. So is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with including a picture of a woman or a video of a woman? So these are our two shailas for this week. The baby being brought lo aleinu to the hospital unresponsive and continuing to work on the baby, and the women in music videos. Okay, that's one and two. All those who would like to discuss the more serious and slightly more morbid shaila, number one. Raise them high and proud. Okay, and all those who would like shaila number two. It's close. All right. So I guess we'll do shaila number two, which is too bad. Shaila number two could have been a 10-minute halacha shiur next week. So now I'm gonna have to work and prepare a new one. Okay, new. So first of all, it's important to realize that this shaila is very much a 21st century issue, because previously different communities had different sensibilities and sensitivities, and it didn't really affect anybody else. Everyone just stayed within their own Dalet Amos, and you know, and they did what they did, and in certain communities, certain things were appropriate, and that was okay in other communities. But now everything is published, everything is publicized, everything is maximum distribution, and therefore a Hasidic organization like Bnei Olam wants to appeal to everybody. They want to raise funds from everybody. They hold fundraisers all the time in modern Orthodox communities, right? So they want to raise funds from everybody. So they're producing a video that in their community makes a lot of sense, whereas in other communities doesn't play as well. So it's an interesting issue that didn't really happen so much in the past. Also, there's very little discussion in Poskim about pictures and videos. There's lots of discussion in Poskim about actual women and being mistakel at, you know, real live actual women. Not as much in early Poskim, certainly, about pictures and videos, and that's for an obvious reason. There was no such thing as pictures and certainly not videos until more recent times. And it's important to realize that there may be certain differences between pictures and videos on the one hand versus actual women on the other hand. For example, if there's an actual woman in front of you and you were sitting there staring at her, at a certain point it may get uncomfortable because she'll be like, what's your problem? Stop looking at me. But if it's a picture, the picture will never say, hey, stop looking at me, right? So it never gets uncomfortable. You'll continue to look at the picture. So you have that. So in that sense, pictures are in fact a little bit more, severe or more iffy. On the other hand, a live person is always more attractive than a picture. There's something about the dynamism of a human being when they're an actual live person. So I always tell guys, no one listens, but I always tell guys who are dating, don't ask for a picture. You can say, well, what's a picture? Not. Forget about the tsnius reasons, which are the obvious reasons not to ask for a picture, but forget about that. But what are you going to see? You're going to see a stagnant image. And a person is not a stagnant image. There are people that would not be attracted to a picture of a woman, but would be very attracted to the actual woman. So last night I did a dating panel in Stern. We did a question and answer session with on dating with three other people. All three other people have extensive experience with it. I have zero experience with dating, but it didn't stop me from pontificating about all my my opinions and whatever. So Rabbi David Bashefkin was saying that when someone asks, what about checklists? How long should your checklist be? And what if the person doesn't match every box on your checklist? So he said, if you have a checklist, it's probably too long. meaning by definition. But you see, we're saying there are a few things that are very important. For example, it's very important that there be attraction. So I actually interrupted him. I interjected and I said, attraction to the person, but a picture is not really indicative necessarily. Obviously, it is a picture of that, you know, like there are people that would look like at a picture of themselves and be like, oh, I look so fat in this picture. And it's like, you know, I mean, it's a photograph, you know, it's not like an artist rendering, you know, like if you look that way, there's a reasonable chance that, but nevertheless, you know, a person has, you know, a smile, a twinkle in their eye, there's something, there's a certain chayin that you can't pick up from a picture. So Rabbi Bashefkin said, 100% right, I agree with that. But girls, make sure your picture's good. So like, okay, whatever. So there is that element that a human being is more of a concern of a stock list than an actual picture. Now, the idea that some have is, wait a second, if there's even an issue, why even discuss the issue? The safest thing to do is never show women in any sort of media, and then you'll never have a problem. So why wouldn't you just err on the safe side, which is what apparently the video is doing? So the problem with erring on the safe side is that, first of all, you can insult important people if you have that as a policy. For example, let's say you have an important female politician. I don't know, maybe in the Situation Room as they're getting bin Laden, and you have from publications that just paint her out of the, you know, what do they call it? Photoshop her out of the picture. And if that goes around, that we photo, you know, that to higher levels of government, that this is what the Jewish people do to women who are powerful and important. They could be Secretary of State, and that's what we're doing. So that could be not so good for the Jewish people. First of all, and second of all, much like. The Isser Hoshata for Ishto Nida. There's a halacha that when one's wife is a Nida, you're not allowed to pass something to her hand to hand. Now, in the past, if you're single, you've probably never thought of passing something as anything even remotely associated with Hirurin. Where someone asks you to pass the salt, you pass the salt, it probably doesn't inspire Hirurin. And yet, once it becomes usur while ishto nida, that first time that you pass something to your wife after she's no longer a nida, all of a sudden there's like this electricity in the passing. Why? What happened? Because once you've identified this as something that is meant to be an act of kurva, now in your brain you associate it that way. So in a strange way, it could be that if you take every picture of every woman and say, ooh, that's off limits, no one's allowed to see that, that might in a person's brain actually cause more hirurin, because then anytime he sees a picture, he's not going to avoid seeing pictures of women his entire life, right? Anytime he sees a picture of a woman, even fully dressed, it might be, he might associate that with something that is the forbidden fruit. And furthermore, and probably most fundamentally, the argument that we hear a lot is that it objectifies women. It makes them feel that it's one thing to say that a woman who's dressing immodestly, well, we're not going to look at that because that's immodest. It's another thing to say that a person's existence is immodest, meaning just the very fact that she's there is immodest. So that certainly can make someone, you would imagine, not a woman, but I would imagine that for a woman that could make her feel not so great. So that's why you can't just err on the side of caution. Yet, having said all of that, if it's us or it's us, right? So we got to figure out, is it us or is it mutter? So first, recent examples, or not such recent examples. There was a book that just came out, a biography of Rebbetzin Youngreis. Rebbetzin Youngreis was one of the most dynamic and powerful Rebbetzins in the United States. I mean, she was someone who was, she was an absolute dynamo. I mean, she was someone full of energy and very involved in Kiruv, would speak all over the place, and was always so put together, always very tzenua, but always also like very much put together and very, with it. And in the book, it doesn't have a picture of her on the cover of the book. It's like a picture of Hineni, which is her organization, picture of the door, like into the building. That's the picture on the cover of the book. So that's I found that a little bit interesting, just because I would imagine the biography of Rebbetzin Youngreis is going to appeal to people who would otherwise admire Reb Tzion Reis. Meaning, I don't think it's like appealing to like the serious Hasidic world anyway. So if that's the case, who exactly are you, you know, who are you satisfying? Unless it's Aser. Unless it's Aser. One thing we know for sure is Reb Tzion Reis didn't think it was Aser. She had pictures of herself published all the time while she was alive. Second, they say, I don't know if this is true, I don't know, I heard David Lichtenstein say this, I don't know where he got it from, but they say that when they showed Rav Chaim Kanievsky the biography of Reb Tzion Kanievsky, he looked at it and he turned it around and flipped through and he said, where's the Reb Tzion? she wasn't anywhere in the book. The whole book was about her. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a funny story at least. Here's something that is definitely true because we have records of this. In 1988, after Rebbetzin Chaya Mushka Schneerson passed away, the Lubavitch Rebbetzin, Lubavitch published a book in her memory called Imenu Hamalka. And it had a picture of her at the beginning of the book. It had a picture of the Rebbetzin at the beginning of the book. So at the time, Rav Gavriel Tziner, the author of the multi-voluminous Nitei Gavriel series of Svarim, wrote a letter to the Lubavitch Rebbe. And he wrote, and I saw this quoted in Tzvika Reisman's Sefer. Tzvika was here this week. Tzvika Reisman from Los Angeles was here this week, and he gave me a copy of... I don't think he brought it for me. He brought a bunch of copies and gave them to the first three rabbis he found. So I was zeicha to a copy of the he has Ratz Katzvi, two more volumes of it. He's published like I don't know 20, 30 volumes of it already. But so he has a piece on this and pictures of women, and he writes there. He quotes there from Rav Gavriel Tziner's letter to the Lubavitch Rebbe, and the letter reads. Basi laheir odos sheyatzal or sefer imenu hamalka tmunu meharabinit alah shalom. That in this book imenu hamalka, there's a picture of your wife. Ulefia nias daiti eino nachon. Can you imagine someone writing a letter to Lubavitch Rebbe? I don't think it's right. Damr Chazal, because the Gemara says in Sech Sanhedrin Gemiri ein yetzar hashalet al b'mashe ein avros. The yetzar hara is most active with what you see. They naim see, and then the heart desires, and that causes the yetzar to really get going. And the Gemara says in Masech Savodzor, we pass on Ebenezer, that you're not even allowed to look at big date savonim of a woman that you are makir, of a woman that you know, that you recognize. Even the begging of a woman who's no longer alive. So in our case, at least we should have midas chasidus to be machmir, says Rav Gavriel Tziner. So the Rebbe responded, and the Rebbe responded the way he often responded, which is instead of writing another letter, he just made like little ha'aros in the letter that was written to him. You know that famous story, someone sent the Rebbe a letter that said, I'm so upset, my life is very difficult, I'm having trouble with this, I'm having trouble with that, I'm having trouble, and the Rebbe just underlined every time he wrote the word I or mine, and said, there's your problem. You only focused on yourself, if you focused on other people. So over here, the Rebbe responded, and he said that, he underlined the words, in Rav Gavriel Tziner's letter, when he said, Asur listakel, af bebigdei tzivonin, shel isha shuhu makira. So he underlined the words listakel, to gaze, tzivonin, bigdei tzivonin, colorful clothing, and makira, that you're makir the woman. And the Rebbe writes, and from there you see that when you don't have those three factors, it's not aser. Especially since you don't have any of those three. That's what the Rebbe wrote. Now, why don't you have any of those three? He says he doesn't think people are going to be mistakel. People will see they're not going to be mistakel. And big day tzivonin, there was no tzivonin over there. In Lubavitcher literature, they understood that literally, that what the Rebbe meant was that it was a black and white picture. It wasn't a colored picture. I don't know, it's hard to imagine that's what he meant. I would have thought it meant big day tzivonin means provocative clothing. Right? The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that one of the Amoraim saw a woman wearing a provocative scarf and he ripped it off of her. Turned out she was a non-Jew, but so he had to pay her for it. But the point is that it was provocative. That's tzivonim. Tzivonim is provocative. That's what I thought the Rebbe meant. And obviously the Rebbe wasn't wearing anything provocative. And then he said, Makira! No one's Makira! No one knows the Rebbe anyway. So that, they say in the Lubavitcher literature, that he meant that literally. The Rebbe was like a recluse. She was like very private. She was very tzanua. Kol kvud bas melech pnimi. You never saw her in public. She was... She really didn't leave the house much. No one really, even the women in Lubavitch didn't really know her. So he said no one was Makira. I knew her. No one else really knew her. So that was the Rebbe's response. And then the Rebbe writes on the point that it should be a midas chasidus not to publish. The Rebbe wrote Ela shal yidei zeh yisma'et bivahacha yitein alibo kanira b'muchash. He says, yeah, but then it's going to defeat the whole purpose. He said, it's not going to have that same... What's the point of publishing something about the Rebbetzin, inspirational stories about the Rebbetzin, is so that v'chayitein alibo, that people will be inspired. People are much more inspired when they feel that they can connect to a person. And it's not just words on a page. They see the person. It makes a difference. Anyone ever read Gedolim biographies? Am I the only one? I read all... So what's the first thing you do when you get the book? Flip through the pictures, right? You want to see. So, okay, now I know everyone he met and all the people he smiled for pictures. Now I'll read the book, sometimes. But the first thing you do is you flip through the pictures. So the Rebbe said that he thought that that was, okay. Now, what would the potential issue be? So there are two Isurim of Histaklus. There are two separate psukim that Chazal actually darshan for the Isur of Histaklus. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Beis Darshan's pasuk is Sasuru Achre Einechem, should be a familiar pasuk to us, that you're not allowed to even think about Hirurei Avera, thinking about Arayos. Rashi on the pasuk comments that that's the stages of the Avera. The eye see, the heart desires, and the body commits the sin. So that's one. Then the Gemara in Ksuba Staf Mem Vav tells us a different pasuk. The Nishmarta Mikol Dover Ra, says the Gemara, that's reminding a person not to be mistakel at things during the day, which are going to be mevili de tumah belayla. It will cause him thoughts that ultimately at night will bring him to tumah. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf, which is the primary sugi, I think, about mistaklus, tells us that it's not only about looking at women, it's about looking at watching animals mate and gazing at women's clothing, even if the woman is not currently wearing them, just gazing at the clothing itself. So that's the drasha. These are the two isurim. Now, these two halachos seem very, very similar to each other. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Rav Moshe ben Ezra Chelek Aleph Siman Samach Tes, that v'nishmarta mikol davara is dafka an isur that's going to be maybe the day tuma. That if a person is going to see shichva zera belayla, that's the isur v'nishmarta mikol davara. Meaning, it can only apply to a man, it can't apply to a woman. Because there's no chashash, it'll be maybe the tuma. Lo sasuru achrei einechem, that could apply equally to men and to women. Anything that you see that's going to cause hirurim and is going to cause hirurei aveira, that's going to apply equally to men and women. So that's why, you know, intuitively, if you were to ask anybody, I guess, if you were to ask people, do you think that women have an isur of histaklus? Right? Is a woman allowed to watch, you know, material that has men that are not dressed appropriately, or men that are particularly good-looking men? Is a woman allowed to be mistakel? So most of us would probably say, probably not right, but it's not the same, right? Meaning it's definitely not totally okay, but it's not the same. So here, Rav Moshe sort of like quantifies that for us. There are two isurim. And one of them applies to only women, and the other one applies to both men and women. So it's actually exactly like that. It's today's Dav Yomi, actually. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that when Shaul HaMelech had to try to find Shmuel when they were looking for his father's animals, so the women that he saw by the entrance to the city had this... All they needed to say was that you better hurry up because Shmuel's leaving soon. But they started telling him this whole maisa. He's bringing karbanos, and then people are going to say a bracha, and then they're going to eat from the karbanos. They go through this whole maisa. So Gemara says, kol kach lama. Like, why do they have to go through this whole maisa? Just say, you better hurry up, because he's leaving. Why do they have to tell him the whole story? So the Gemara has a few answers, and one of the answers the Gemara has was that they Shaul was mishuchem alamayli. He was a very impressive-looking person, and they were just, like, smitten by him. They wanted to keep the conversation going. going as long as they can, because they were looking at this good-looking guy. So the implication is that women apparently, the Gemara doesn't say that it was us, it's just that's what they were doing. So apparently they were allowed to look at him for longer. A man would not be allowed to do that with a woman, to just spend extra time talking to her so that you can look at her, right? That would absolutely be usur for a man to. But what about, like, a woman is fully dressed? So is there any issue? So clearly there's an issur staklus. The Gemara says, I feel that's for katana shalisha. If you are looking for the purpose of deriving pleasure, then there's no doubt you're not allowed to be mistakel at a woman's face, at a woman's pinky, at a woman's anything, if it's for the purpose of deriving pleasure, if a person is gazing at a woman. However, there is no indication that I know of that one has to avoid even fully clothed women or images of fully clothed women, lest he come to Hirhurim. Meaning there is a point where it's usher to have the Hirhurim, that's for sure. But there's a point where it's no longer a reasonable concern that one is going to have Hirhurim. For example, Gemara Bava Basra Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis tells us that somebody walks by the river when the women are doing the laundry, and they roll up their sleeves, they roll up their clothing because they're wet by the river. If he closes, the Gemara praises someone who closes his eyes as he walks by the river. The Gemara discusses, well, what's he doing there in the first place? Is there another derech? He should have avoided the derech. But the point is, dafka, when he's walking by the river, why not just say when he's walking by any woman ever that he should close his eyes? Apparently, you don't have to close your eyes by any woman ever. It's just by the river where they're not dressed so appropriately. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf, distinguishes between a married woman who you can't be mistakel at, afilu mechueres, the Gemara says, even if she's unattractive, we'll use that word. Whereas a penuya is only problematic if not, if she's beautiful. So the Gemara is obviously trying to make a point that there are different, it's talking to the Yetzer Hara. They have to be reasonable with the Yetzer Hara. Mayim genuvim yim taku, that which is more usser, we tend to have a greater Yetzer Hara for, and therefore you have to be more on guard with that which is more usser. But it's all about, you know, developing some reasonable criteria. And also, it's important to emphasize that according to almost all poskim, there's a difference between histaklus and re'iya. There's no iser liros isha, there's an iser lihistakel be'isha. Being mistakel means to look intently, to look for the sake of pleasure. And there's a difference between the two. And that's what the Beis Yosef writes in Siman Ayin Hei, in Aruch Chaim Hilchos Kriyas Shema. And in fact, that is why most poskim say, there's a Shailin poskim, can you say a bracha on the Queen of England? Right? You say a bracha when you see a king, when you see a monarch. So would you say a bracha on the Queen of England? So in the Shor Metzion Balachi, he says, Chas v'shalom, see the Queen of England? It's also the Stachel B'isha. So you can't see the Queen of England. So almost every other posek says, come on. I mean, there's an issur to be mistakel at the Queen of England, if you would, but there's no issue to see, to liros, the Queen of England. You know, the raya, the Gemara says, is a bracha that you're supposed to say toward the end of Mesach's bracha. It's a bracha you say when you see a rainbow. And the Gemara also says that it's asur to be mistakel at a rainbow. Well, when are you supposed to say the bracha if you're not allowed to be mistakel at the rainbow? Elamai, you're allowed to see the rainbow, you're just not allowed to be mistakel at the rainbow. Now, the Tzvika Reisman points out in the Sefer that the Chidah disagrees with this. And the Chidah in Pesach Einayim, Tavod Zar Dav Chav, says that there's no difference. And you're not even allowed to see women. That's just hard to imagine, that there's that it's usher to ever see a woman. I remember when I was in Keren Biavne, the Mashkiach told us a Maisa. There was a rumor that some of the guys on Fridays were going into Yerushalayim and hanging out, I assume it's all, anti-Semites that are spreading evil rumors about guys, but because yeshiva guys never do this, but that they were hanging out with some girls. So the Mashkiach caused the Mashkiach to give a shmooze, and he said that there was once a Hasidish boy, the parents wanted to keep him absolutely tahar, that he should never see a woman. So they shielded him and they protected him and they made sure that all the neighbors' daughters were in the house whenever he would walk through the street. And then finally he was like 12 years old and someone didn't get a message, and like the neighbor's daughter was outside as he was walking through the street, and he said, "What's that?" and his parents, his father said, "Oh, that's a chicken." He said, "I want a chicken," right? So that was the. It's a ridiculous standard to be held to not to even see. So now clearly in this area there is definitely room to be machmir beyond the halacha for people who are kedoshim mitzarim. The Gemara Masechta Basu Daf Tezayin highlights the distinction between Avram Avinu and Eov. In that Avram, it's the Eov HaGadis, it's the end of the first paragraph, that Avram wouldn't even gaze at his own wife unnecessarily. Where Eov spoke of the challenge of gazing at young women unnecessarily. So there are limits to acceptable stringency in this area. The Gemara Masechta Ksuba says that a man who insists on having marital relations while clothed is forced to divorce his wife because that's an unreasonable thing to demand. Then the last point, I realize I'm already over time here, but I didn't get to the bottom line, is that pictures and motion pictures may be different. Rav Avadya Yosef in Yechav Das Chelek Dalitz in Zayin and Yab Yomer Chelek Vav or Chaim Simin Yudbez was asked whether you could say brachos or kriyashma in front of a television that has a picture of an inappropriately dressed woman on it. So Rav Avadya says that there are two isurim. There's the isur of actual objective erva, and that you don't have. It's just a picture, it's not the actual erva. But then there's the chashash hirur, and that you certainly have. And it's so interesting, he brings a raya. What's the raya that there's a chashash hirur on a screen? So he says the raya is that there's a gemara in the Darim and in the Maseches Nazir where there was a guy that saw his own image in the water and he was overcome by his own beauty and therefore he decided to become a Nazir, right? Agalecha l'shamayim. So you see that one could be so taken by an image even though it's only a reflection and it's not the real image. I would have said, you know, I'm for some of Saint Shrikhan Raya. You know, there's a multi-billion-dollar industry that tells you that that there are hirurim when people see things on a screen. But Rav Avadya doesn't know from such things. So he brought a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Samech Aleph says that you're not allowed to walk behind a woman in the street, presumably because she won't realize that you're looking at her. So nowadays, Rav Shlomo Zalman already writes, based on the Leket Yosher, Talmud of Shmuz Hadashin, that halacha doesn't apply. But you still have like that concept that if you can look more intently without her ever realizing that would be an issue. At the end of the day, it's okay for different communities to have different standards of what they're willing to publish and not publish. But you know, certainly for our community, we asked Morenu Rav Shechter, and he thought that there's absolutely nothing wrong with if a woman is dressed appropriately, she's a tzinua woman. That's the reality of life that we live amongst. That's exactly what the Leket Yosher writes. As far as walking behind a woman, he said they're kikaki chivri. They're as common in the market as white geese. Meaning you see them all the time, so it's not going to cause. There is a certain one could argue they're even more common than white geese in most of our communities. So one doesn't have to be so concerned about any sort of stock. Because obviously, if it's a particularly attractive woman or it's a suggestive picture or something like that, you have to use common sense. But to stam, just have any picture of a woman, certainly for our community, we're not posking for other communities, but certainly for our community, our poskim have said that there would be no problem whatsoever. And adarabha, because of the downside of not doing it, so women need role models also. Young girls need role models also. So let them see. Let them have role models that are visible to them. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.